And the best mam in and nanny in the world. Yeah, this one especially for you. Carmel Kearns from Brookville, who celebrates her birthday today. Have a wonderful day. Comes in from Johnny and your 3 sons, 4 daughters and all your many grandchildren.
Well done.
And this is from the Bertie boy himself.
Yeah,
this
what's the story? Which one won? Release well, me or Quando?
I would reckon that Release Me, but I think...
You reckon that won, did you?
Well, we find out by listening out at this
moment. Okay, the computer has generated, and who has won? We put in Release Me and Quando. And well done, Release Me won this morning. That's why we're going to play Quando. We're out of here, folks.
Listen, have a great day. Have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. Life's for living. Not right. Tell me when will you be...
A lucky Meath couple has won the lottery not once but twice in a week. They scooped up more than €100,000 with 2 winning tickets hitting just 2 days apart. Last Thursday, a woman won €10,000 on a ticket purchased in Duleek. Just 2 days later, her husband struck it rich with a ticket worth over €92,000. Both tickets were purchased at the Eurospar in Duleek. The Great Brown parents say they haven't yet settled on plans to spend it. And now finally to...
Michael Reid on LMFM. Call us now on 1850 365 958.
Today, stopping restaurants from deducting the tips left for low-paid workers by law. Dundalk's soup kitchen appeals for help to fill bare shelves. Reforming mental health, an aspiration that's often talked about, but 2 years after 165 recommendations were made, just one proposal has been implemented. Why Peter McBerry says the government is failing to tackle the housing crisis, and following the European Council's declaration on the border, does a Brexit bring forward the prospect of a united Ireland? Good morning, Tuesday morning, the 2nd of May 2017. Much debate and discussion from now till 11 a.m. This is Michael on LMFM.
Michael at lmfm.ie.
Northern Ireland has moved forward by leaps and bounds and will continue to do so, but within the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And I think the only thing if I could achieve out of this interview, if I could get Mr. Carty to say Northern Ireland, that would be an achievement, because that's about the only progress we're going to make in this interview. We've succeeded with Loud FM, but we haven't succeeded with Sinn Féin.
Do you want to say Northern Ireland, Matt Carty?
I think the most important issue that we deal with is that whatever we want to call it, that the people actually have an opportunity to decide their own.
Okay, I take it you don't want to.
He can't bring himself
Michael, there is no threat to the peace process if we all continue to work to ensure that we move forward.
Do you think that there would be violence, Matt Carty, just to conclude, if there was to be a referendum, if it was agreed that a referendum would be held, would it not be inevitable that there would also be violence?
No, I don't believe so. I believe, as I say, that the referendum itself is actually just the fulfilment of a key element of the peace accord in 1998.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. I'll call this woman Karen, for example.
Okay.
Karen has been coming to us now, and she has a couple of children, and they're in and out of foster care, and she hadn't been coming every week, and we knew she was one of the people who needed it. So we asked her, why didn't she come? And she said, I don't like to abuse the service. You know, the type of her who needs this service is, you know, afraid to abuse it. And she has thanked us on our Facebook page. And, you know, she's really... Then we have other people coming and, you know, they wouldn't have much. And they say, well, can I give you a euro? Or, you know, like, people are very appreciative of it, you know. And there is very genuine people stands in that queue. Like, anyone who is willing to stand in a queue for food, in my mind, they need it.
Sports headlines with Colm Corrigan. Good morning. Soccer, and in the Champions League tonight, it's the start of the semi-finals and the first leg between neighbours Real and Atletico Madrid. Meanwhile, English Championship side Norwich City have held informal talks with Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill over the manager's job at Carrow Road. It's believed O'Neill is one of several candidates being spoken to as the Canaries try and line up a permanent replacement for Alex Neil, who was sacked in March. In the last of the League Cup quarter-finals here at home tonight, Shamrock Rovers take on Longford in Tallaght. Both sides are bidding to join Caroline, Dundalk, Cork City and Galway in the semi-finals. Gaelic Games, Andy McDonnell and Adrian Reid are lads to chief injury worries with 2.5 weeks to go to their Leinster Senior Football Championship opener against Wicklow. McDonnell recently underwent minor surgery on the knee injury which kept him sidelined for part of the National League campaign. He's currently recuperating from that injury, while Reid is also nursing a knee problem which kept him out of Matic Rangers Division 1 league match against the Martins last Friday. Meanwhile, Colin Kelly has lined up two challenge matches for his team this weekend. On Friday night, they take on Longford in Monaster Boyce, and then on Sunday afternoon, Westmeath are the opposition in Claverhead. David Hickey of Carlow has been confirmed referee for Meath's Leinster Minor Football Championship qualifier against Laois at Park Tarleton on Saturday. The winners of that game, will remember, will advance to the quarterfinals, while the losers will be out of the competition. Meath lost to Dublin after extra time in the first round, while Laois also lost an extra time to Louth. Saturday's match in Navan has a 3 o'clock throw-in time. In the Louth Paddy Sheelan Shield tonight, Cooley are at home to the...
What does the story centre on?
Well, really, it's a gripping story that happened just this weekend. It's exactly when it happened. So the movie's coming out on Friday, and it happened on Saturday, 200 years ago, and a family perished or burned alive on... Way back a few months earlier, three people broke into a house, and on the evidence of the man, the English were over on at the time, they were convicted and hung, and that started a non-believer revenge with a fella called Pat Devan, and he actually organised a massive group of fellas in a church to go and kind of carry out a massive revenge. So it all kind of centres around that. The thing about it is we filmed it in the exact location. And I think what's really has been the key to it, the community in the area have just got all behind it. Without the community, I don't think we could never have made the movie.
Let's bring Claire O'Brien Bannigan into the conversation. You were bullied at school.
I was.
You went to school in Drogheda?
Yeah.
And what form did the bullying take for you, and from what age did it start?
It's all mentality. Like, it's... They just get right in on you. And then it's just, they get right in on you, and it's just the mentality form of it. Like, you end up being, like, you feeling not good enough. And
What age did it start with you?
I was in secondary school again, so it was kind of 12, 13.
And can you pinpoint why or when it started?
I don't know, maybe because I always tried to keep to myself, because I've always been focused on, like, any work or projects or anything I was doing in school. So I kind of... put myself into that, so then I kind of maybe was seen as vulnerable. So I kind of, maybe that was a stepping stone for them.
Similar to Paul was said he was a loner himself. You know what I mean? Like, there's a commonality here between you. You're maybe a little bit different, you know, people who stand out from the crowd and they attract the attention of the herd. Then what was the bullying like? What did they do to you?
Just name calling and being like pushed around when you were in the yard, or going along the corridor to your next class, you'd be pushed along, and then there'd be three or four of them, they'd get into a group. Like, when one was doing it, they'd have the group doing it, and like, to be days you wouldn't want to go to school. Like, you'd be terrified of going, what are they going to do today?
As bad as
just,
that.
Yeah. And then the anxiety starts, and like, you just start making excuses for schools. And even at the time, I did report it to the head of year at that time. But there's only so much they can do. Like, they can talk and try and make it better, but it just doesn't go.
You're
right.
A young woman. It's not that long ago that this was happening.
No,
you needn't tell me. I will just tell listeners, you are a young woman. Yeah. And, you know, this is in very recent times.
Yeah.
So you coped. Is that what you do? Paul mentioned that.
You just cope. Like, at the time, I went through counselling and stuff like that. And that did help a great deal. And then I was put on sleeping tablets to be able to sleep, because it started to affect the schoolwork. And then grades were starting to slip. Like, it's just terrible. I actually, in sixth year, I just couldn't take the pressure anymore. So it was coming up to a couple of weeks before the leaving cert, and I just had enough. I dropped out of school. And I went to, I'm only after finishing my own business degree up in Dundalk there last year.
So you went back by another route or whatever, but you actually left.
But then that was the problem with bullying, because I didn't feel that I could put enough in for the leaving cert. So I just...
You're made feel useless.
Yeah.
Do you feel the school did anything to help you? You mentioned to a first year or a form leader or whatever, or a year leader.
Yeah. When I dropped out, they came to my mum's house and they were trying to talk and all that. But, like, I don't know. It just gets to a stage where it's, how would you put it?
Enough, 5 or 6 years, it just gets into you.
Hmm.
And
it just reaches a whole different level.
But as Claire said now, like, she had to take sleeping tablets.
Yeah.
Other people it stays with you, because some people might go on the drink, causing alcoholism.
I think that's what the
drug effect, everything. You know, it's like a domino effect.
Mm. Some young people are vulnerable as well, and they can't see any other way only by taking their own life at a young age.
Yeah, or go into drugs or alcohol. Exactly.
That's the real extreme when somebody feels like it's not worth living because of this as well. And just back to you, Claire, you think when you leave the school environment and you move on, and congratulations on getting your degree, but you go working, this followed you into work.
It did. Unfortunately, I had a few experiences at work as well that I ended up leaving a job over. So I'm actually job hunting again if anyone wants to give me a job.
I know someone would say, like, and be very serious about this, you had it at school and then you take it into work. Do you start thinking there's something up with you?
I did, because, like, again, when I went to work, I was focused on, like, again, what I was doing, but I don't know, it just seems to have a ripple effect.
And again, what's that workplace bullying? What happens? How does it manifest?
It starts with little details, like, say you put the wrong word in an email, or you might kind of put something the wrong way or something. Like, it's just all, and then it's all picked up on. And then I think because you do one mistake, they're expecting, and then it goes higher and higher.
So you just felt uncomfortable?
Yeah.
You felt you were being picked on?
Yeah. But it was things that could be fixed. Like, it wasn't that it wasn't fixable. Mm.
So nobody physically bullied you. It's more, is it like, were you called in? Were you given out to? What?
Well, I did. I had, I don't know.
It's a physical. I was actually in a meeting one time with another four or five people, and they were doing a weekly meeting with their bosses, and they literally, the four other people I was in on work experience, and the four other people actually started shaking before they actually went in.
Yes.
Fear.
Yeah.
With pure fear, and I said, "But it's only a person," and I could actually see the fear in the four people's faces.
Yeah.
I was saying, this is wrong. Do you know, how can people walk under these rules, or these, what's the word I'm looking for, these circumstances? Do you know, like, life today is hard enough with mortgage payments, other payments, bills, kids, do you know, rather than going into work and getting bullied as well, do you know, I'm feeling worthless as well.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean? And that literally has a knock-on effect with adults and kids, because the adults come home, they do take it out on the kids when they come home, because they're tired, they're frustrated, do you know, they're stressed, and they actually do take it out on the kids at home, and then it ruins the family life, and then it has a knock-on effect as well.
Afternoon. Once again, we're back after yet another long bank holiday weekend. It's straight down to business today as we take you back in time to the year of the Dublin Monaghan bombings, the sudden death of President Childers, and the collapse of the Sunningdale Agreement in the north. We have summertime hits from the Drifters, Bay City Rollers, and lots, lots more. Join us after the late lunch today for the cruise on LMFM.
Brought to you by First Class Fireplaces and Stoves, your main Stanley stove dealer in the northeast at Navan in Clongill, Wilkinstown, 046 90 54 722.
The voice of the Northeast, LMFM.
Lisa McHugh plays on the home of great Irish and American country music. It is Country Express here with you till 9, and that is Lisa McHugh's
I'm a little bit lonely. Well, hopefully, you're not too lonely tonight. We're keeping you company with some great music, whether you're at home or in the car or at work. We hope you're enjoying yourself. Or maybe you're not in any of those places. Well, wherever you are, hopefully you're enjoying the music with us here on LMFM. And by the way, can I say best wishes to Daniel and Simon, who are members of Lisa's band. And of course, as you've probably heard by now, Daniel and Simon involved in an accident, I think about a week ago. They actually played in Dundalk and travelled back up north for home and were involved in an accident that night. So they're recovering at the moment, and we do wish them all the very best in their recovery. Now, let's get you some more music. Kevin Logue here from County Cavan, and this is called Only Worse on LMFM.
I want to call in Ibiza LMFM Interactive 2210 on your Tuesday night. We were talking about the stupidest names because Cheryl and Liam Payne, I don't know if they're married or not, but they've just called their baby Bear. Stupidest name ever. And Carolina sexed in. She said Gwyneth Paltrow, which is an awful name, Gwyneth. And Chris Martin named their daughter Apple and their son Moses. Moses is not the worst, but Apple, what the hell are you even thinking, right? We had a couple of texts in. I genuinely think anyone who's named Keith was just born aged 40. No offence to any Keats. I know a couple of Keats and they're all great guys, but I'm definitely thinking they were all born 40. Sarah texted in and said she hates the name Sandra. Someone called her it today by accident. Ooh, Sandra. Josh, someone texted in. Josh, I like Josh. Jake is nice, but Jacob I hate, from Kathleen. Ooh, I like the both of them. Keep them coming. 53958, the worst baby names you've ever heard of. Here's brand new from Shawn Mendes and Nothing Holding Me Back. This is LMFM.